Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, cats, man. Hey, this is Fox 35 Orlando. A Florida man shot his roommate 10 times because they got into an argument about cats. By the way, if you wondered if the guy was a prohibited possessor, he was. You mean a criminal breaking the law? What? No. They got into a big fight. Glenn White. Proof that not all beards look good. He found himself behind bars. He shot his roommate 10 times. They got into an argument over cats in Fort Myers. It was a chick that he shot. So, yeah, apparently the two were having a days-long fight. White was evicted from his home. The woman allowed him, apparently, to move in. And then he brought, apparently, a bunch of animals with him. He moved in with three cats. Okay, so he moved in with three cats. And he had been there already for 7 days. He was only there for 7 days. He moved in with his three cats. And then every single day, he brought in a new cat. Like, where the hell are you getting them? Number one. Brought a cat home literally every day. So he had, like, a ton more cats with him. And she said she wanted the cats to live outside instead of inside. She got tired of having literally... She said they were everywhere. And when he allowed her to go into his room that he was staying in to look for the cats, and she found more... And then she got mad, turned around to face him, and then he began to shoot at her, screaming, "I'm going to kill you, B." And so, yeah, the police were called, and he was taken into custody. I'm allergic to cats, like super allergic. So I wouldn't have been able to abide with it anyway. But like, where is he getting the cats though? Like, you're bringing home a cat every day? I don't understand that. All right, so. This is Tampa Free Press. It was a horse chase. Of course it was. It was just a horse on the run. I'm not really interested in that because nobody was riding it. It was just a horse running away and the police had to go, okay, great. This Florida man had another machete attack at a Wawa. Yeah, he was arrested. One person was arrested. I didn't have the machete attack at the Wawa on my bingo card for this week. This is the third machete attack this year that we've had in Florida, man. This happened on Sunday. Two dudes got into an argument, and the other man apparently pulled out a machete. Okay, I got questions, because machetes are quite large. Hence, well, it's just a big, giant blade. It's a machete. How do you conceal it? Right? It's not a pocket knife. I don't get it. Anyway, the cops were called. The individual, who is not identified by Fox 13 Tampa Bay, was taken into custody. I really want to know, because that's, again, third machete attack. Two times now, they were concealed. How? Hey, Kane, you know how big they are?
Yeah. Down the side of your pants, maybe?
How?
You walk with a stiff leg? I have no idea.
I don't know. It's just... Yeah, I don't know. This dog dug up an ancient bomb. Is that the right word to use? Ancient? An ancient bomb in the backyard. Holy cow. So this is in Jacksonville, Florida. On Wednesday, the dog began digging near the fence line. You know, dog was digging as dogs do. And the owner, Matthew Sims, walked over to make sure the dog wasn't getting anything they weren't supposed to. And that's when he spotted something sticking up out of the ground. He said, "I started pulling it up, and once I got it halfway out, I was like, oh, wait, I know what this is. Let me gently put it back down." It was a small military ordnance that was about a foot long, weighed 10 pounds. It had been buried for some time. And the Sims said to himself, "Oh, boy, is this live?" They had to call the police. Police evacuated all the residents. They had the bomb squad come in. It was an antique explosive. That's all. But they don't know how it ended up in the yard of this home. It was just a suburban Jacksonville house. They have no idea how it got there. And I love the neighbor, Carla Smith. She goes, "I've been around people who have artifacts like this. I like watching it." Carla didn't care. She wasn't scared. They didn't say if it was live or not. But we still don't know how it got there. Third hour on the way. our partners over at Hillsdale College, where actual education takes place. A lot of people, I think, have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and not just, you know, border, crossing the border, etc. I mean, the importance, the value of citizenship, and what it inspires in terms of valuing a country's sovereignty. So there's a new course. They offer all these online resources for free at Hillsdale.com. There's a new course called American Citizenship and Its Decline. It's taught by Victor Davis Hanson. It's for free. You can take it for free. And it traces the history of citizenship and how it's undermined by not just open borders, but identity politics and the administrative state. And it looks deeply into the connection between citizenship and freedom and the value placed upon these things. And these are important components of Hillsdale's mission, these online courses, to reach and teach millions of people on behalf of liberty and the way of life. So you can sign up for today for Hillsdale's free online course. It's American Citizenship and Its Decline. And you can visit Dana for F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. That's Dana for Hillsdale.com.
Economic numbers, about 8,000 jobs we think are directly implicated, and over $100 million of cargo moves in and out of that port a day. And what was the middle question?
Ballpark it when the port will be reopened.
I'll say this. Reopening the port is a different matter from rebuilding the bridge. The port, that's just a matter of clearing the channel. Still no simple thing, but I would expect that can happen on a much quicker timeline than the full reconstruction of the bridge.
So can you ballpark it just a little?
As you can imagine, I'm asking our teams the same question, but I don't want to put something out just yet.
Weeks, months, years?
We just got to keep going.
I understand, but just give us something there.
Just as soon as we have something, I'll tell you.
So that's a Secretary Mayor Newmom, Vice Admiral of the Canoe Fleet at Camp Wimpy-Tonka, Buttigieg, who it Secretary of Transport, who's telling reporters the bridge will
happen.
It'll happen. The port.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah, one day. Someone said they need to hire DeSantis. Look at it. Listen, do you remember that bridge? Hold up. There's a piece in Practical Engineering. This had to do with Hurricane Ian, September 28th, my birthday, 2022. Hurricane Ian made landfall off the western coast of Florida as a Cat 4. Destroyed bridges, particularly the Sanibel Causeway, a bridge that I've been over before. Very beautiful area. It's a barrier island off the coast of Fort Myers. And they rebuilt that bridge in 15 days. It's a pretty big bridge. I mean, it was a huge bridge. They literally dredged up sand and silt and piled it up above water level, and they built a bridge. They rebuilt it. 15 days, bridge is done. Dang. That seems like they need to hire DeSantis. I feel like he could get that port open and get that bridge rebuilt. And kind of, he'd probably already have a timeline for it. I don't think he sleeps. I really don't. That's why Floridians will cut you if you try to, like, think about not having him be governor of Florida. They didn't care what political affiliations fall to the wayside, apparently, about this. It's amazing. Amazing. So that's very, I mean, they rebuilt this bridge in 15 days after Hurricane Ian. They had, listen to this, just a couple of days after the hurricane went through, state and county officials, they all had a procurement package already pulled together. They were already soliciting contractors for repairs. Now, remember, it was September 28th, that's my birthday. That's when the hurricane rolled through. On October 10th, they already announced their pick of Superior Construction and Ajax Paving. And they had the target completion date of October 31st. They announced all of that on the 10th. Then they had all this, the mobilization of resources, the hundreds of trucks, the stuff to move the earth, the cranes, the barges, the dredges, more than 150 people. That's a lot. I'm looking at this photo. It is all the contractors and everybody, the crews, the resources. It is amazing what they were able to pull together to fix this causeway. And remember what was the date I said that they were going to have it done? They gave a target completion date of like, what, October 31st? Yeah, it was done on October 19th. The whole thing on October 19th.
So like 3 weeks from the time of the hurricane.
I don't think ants could do better. This is crazy. And they had to do bridge approaches, and they had to dredge up material. They had to do all of this stuff.
They even had a temporary bridge up in less than 3 days right after that.
Dang, this is crazy. And they had the power infrastructure, all of this stuff. They got it done. That's just wild. It's wild to me. Meanwhile, you got Poop Booty Juice over here. I don't know when the bridge. And then they asked Biden. So they asked him a question about the bridge. And I guess he's so used to being asked for money. He's like, yeah, we're going to pay for it. Not if it's Maersk, the company that did it. If they had a, I mean, because it kind of sounds like it's their fault. They should be doing it, not the taxpayer. You don't get to just like knock down our bridges because you ain't keeping stuff up to code. And then, you know, if that's the case, and then we pay for it. The hell's wrong with you, Jack? That's not how this works. But he's so used to being like, yes, here's some money that, golly, this is wild. So this is, I just, that's crazy. So yeah, he's like, I don't know, I don't want to push anything out just yet. Well, you guys were already really excitedly pushing out that taxpayers were going to fund any kind of reconstruction. So, you know, how's that any different? Good heavens. I just have DeSantis come and do it. That's all you need to do. Our partners, our friends at Kel-Tec. They make stuff that you can blow other stuff up with. I mean, that's pretty accurate, I think. The Sub 2K Gen 3, it is, the Gen 3 means it's Generation 3. It's new. So don't be like, I got my Kel-Tec. This is new. You don't have this. It just started shipping. It's the Gen 3 9mm carbine, and you can fold it in half. It's like a Polly Pocket gun. I don't know. I mean, that's like, for the ladies out there, it's like for dudes, it's like the although I had Transformers too. It's like a Transformer gun. It's a Polly Pocket gun. You can fold the whole dang thing right in half. And you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore because previously you did. Now you don't. That's what the Gen 3, that's an upgrade for the Gen 3. Now, the whole thing, it has a patent pending rotating fore end. You can twist it in either direction and it folds right in half quickly, just as quickly and easily deploys it. Optics and all. Upgraded aluminum trigger. You got a lightened 5-pound pull as well. Another upgrade. That means obviously improved accuracy for follow up. Upgraded action. You also have this lightened action makes for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. There's even a new chamber indicator. It's just awesome. You got to check it out. It's a Florida based company, USA family run. Kel-Tec, it's the new Gen 3 Sub 2K. To learn more about that Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. Pulling up my... Everything freezes. I love how everything always freezes. All right, so the UN is getting closer to its global emissions tax becoming a reality, apparently. Because, of course, they are. World's first ever global emissions tax. It is the International Maritime Organization. They held their latest round of negotiations just to discuss how to move forward with climate change and all of that stuff. Oh, my gosh. It's so goofy. Just stop messing with stuff. And we don't need the United Nations to control all of that. Just asinine. Also, let's see here. Ooh, West Virginia passed a bill allowing home distillation of liquor up to 5 gallons. Gee, thanks, government. You get to allow people in West Virginia. So in Missouri, it's actually enshrined in the state constitution to be able to make moonshine, which is like, you know, Italians have limoncello. My kith and kin from, you know, the southern parts of the states and Appalachia and Ozarks, they have the moonshine. So they passed up to 5 gallons that they can see. I'm just saying, how many gallons does a bathtub hold? Who robs a casino, first off? These people did. This is Channel 4 ABC. It is Rivers Casino. State police are searching for a suspect that stole $5,000 from River. Wow. So the victim won a slot machine jackpot and was paid out in cash. And when he sat down to continue playing, money was falling out of his pocket onto the floor. Now, came. Police say a man in an electric wheelchair picked up the cash and left. By the time the victim noticed, the suspect was gone. How? How? Can I? How does a guy in an electric wheelchair get the jump on you? How? You got to pay attention to your surroundings. You see what I'm saying? You can't. So now they're looking for him. So that's how you rob the casino. Carnival Freedom battles fire in the Bahamas. A number of reason 2,120,000 as to why I don't do this. Why I don't do cruises. I get weirded out in a hotel by myself. I just, you know, I can't just alone. I can't even imagine doing a cruise. Carnival Freedom suffered a fire while sailing in stormy weather in the Bahamas. And they said that it was about 3 p.m. after local time. They were headed to Freeport. They canceled a call to the Princess Cay due to weather. Coast Guard was notified, and they said that they did not expect Carnival Freedom's voyage. They said that there's not going to have any delays for the next one departing from Cape Canaveral. A fire. What happens if you're in the middle of the ocean? The whole thing burns down, right? Stick with us. We got more in store. Can I go back to this? Speaking of goofy stuff, can I go back to this AP piece, please? The AP piece on how an Associated Press reporter thought that it was racist. You know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge being named Francis Scott Key after him, and how it's just, it was so, when they were talking about the bridge collapsing, they actually tried to make it a racial thing. Now, that does keep in line with, didn't they say that roads and stuff are racist? Isn't that what Biden has said before?
Yeah, bridges.
Wait. Let me look this
Buttigieg.
Up.
Biden. Yeah, Buttigieg said bridges.
No, I thought it was Biden. Roads, bridges.
Well, I think Biden echoed it.
Racist. Let's look. Oh, yeah. Racist infrastructure. I mean, I literally just read that from NBC. How racism shaped highways. Biden's unlikely plan to use roads to fight racism. Oh, and then the independent Buttigieg says American highways are racist. They're going to give that boat a medal. Just wait for it. Wait for it. They're going to give that boat a medal. That boat solved the racisms. Look, it's the Associated Press that said it. Fred State Hatton. Hold on, everything. This is what they tweeted. Guys, they tweeted this. Quote. Who was Francis Scott Key, whose namesake bridge fell? His poem became the Star Spangled Banner. They act like, you know, he talked about being against school segregation and eulogized Robert Byrd or something. Oh, wait, that was Biden. Sorry. Oopsies. Yeah, they said, they wrote, again, because it's so dumb. I have to share it with you this hour also. Quote, while the first verse of the anthem is the most well-known, there are a total of 4 stanzas. And in the third, there's a reference made to a slave.
What?
Mm. Francis Scott Key, his family owned people, supported the idea of sending free black people to Africa, but opposed the abolition of slavery. His personal history has made him a controversial figure in some quarters. So there. And then they said, in June 2020, a statue of him in San Francisco was taken down. They're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge cane. The Associated Press.
So how much more did we find out about that crash?
Well, the guy the bridge was named after, Kane, owned, was a racist.
Oh.
And that the statue of him in San Francisco was taken down, hinting that the bridge needed to be taken down.
How long will that port be out, you think?
But that's irrelevant, because the racisms.
Oh.
Like I said, they're going to give that boat a medal. They're going to.
Got a lot of metal already. A bunch of steel all over
the top of it. Yeah, it did. Dang. I can't. I mean, you have 6 people that are dead, and everyone's like, "What are we going to do with this port?" But AP is on it. Let's look at the DEI history of this bridge. Let's look at it's named after Francis Scott Key, who was a racist. That's you can't make fun of these people enough. But now going back to what I had Googled, Biden administration said that, you know, these roads were built racistly. They left to look at racial equity in highways. Biden's unlikely plan to use roads to fight racism. Well, now this bridge is gone. So score one against two racisms, right? Do you feel better?
No.
Can you feel it gone away?
No.
You don't feel the terrible pressure of hundreds of years of bigotry upon your shoulders anymore, Kane?
No, not even a little.
I mean,
it's weird.
I'm just saying. That's what they all talked about. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, Kane. You know, considering that everyone spent all day yesterday talking about hacking. I'm not going to say that the Biden administration used this boat to take out that highway to end to racisms, but I'm telling you, it kind of seems like the Biden administration used this boat to take out that bridge because of two racisms.
That's a fair conclusion.
I mean,
wondering, though, did they mean racing on highways instead of racism on highways?
No.
Because I can understand.
No.
That's not what they were saying?
You can understand what? The racisms?
The racing on highways, how they'd be against all the racing on highways.
No. In fact, if you remember, his infrastructure bill was designed to use roads to fight racism.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. In fact, quote, tucked into U.S. President Joe Biden's expansive infrastructure bill is a plan to knock down racist roads. That's literally the BBC verbatim.
I wonder what makes roads racist.
They're going to have to paint rainbows on it, like the blood of the, like putting blood above the doorway in order to save some of these bridges and monuments or something. I don't know.
Same question I have about guns. How are guns violent?
I mean, I know we have to get moving, but I really want to make fun of this a lot more.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.